to What's the Mood, where we talk all things mood and mindset, sleep, nutrition, chemical health, and leadership. I'm your host, Julie Berry, from the Illinois Human Performance Project, and we are so glad you're here.
Today on What's the Mood, we have Anne-Marie Sampson. Anne-Marie is a wellness coach, a certified personal trainer and yoga instructor, as well as a digital wellness specialist. She is a girls' cross-country coach, and her mission in life is to leave people better than when she found them. Okay, Anne-Marie, welcome to What's the Mood. Glad to have you on the podcast.
So glad to be here.
Cool. So let's just dive in. Why don't you tell us just like a little bit about you, the field you work in, and stuff like that?
Yeah. So I think how we got connected is I am in the health, wellness, fitness industry. So it's where I've spent my career. I graduated from Purdue University like a really long time ago. I think I've been in the industry for 38 years. Started in physical fitness, which is kind of where I hung my hat. I did everything from own my own aerobics studio to work as a certified personal trainer, helped establish athletics at a small Catholic school that my kids went to, and kind of migrated my way back into high school athletics, maybe even almost unintentionally. And really my focus is female athletes and kind of exploring opportunity there and realizing not that there's a glass ceiling, but there's perhaps different roads we can go to. And it's a super exciting time to be doing that. I am a certified personal trainer. I am a certified yoga instructor, certified running coach. I do coach high school cross country, which is super fun because I get to engage with high school students a lot, which is super fun. And I am certified in digital wellness, a certified wellness coach. So it's been fun. I get the opportunity in my career because we have to keep up with our education through continuing education classes. So I kind of get to decide what I want to learn about. And probably 4 years ago, I really was noticing a shift, a change, a pivot, something different happening with high school students. And I was really curious about it. And I had a really strong sense that these things that they carried in their pockets were part of the problem. And so I went and studied at the Digital Wellness Institute, and it was a huge blessing to me, both personally and professionally.
Yeah. And off the bat, I'm just hearing like a total learner, lover of mind and body, and, you know, any way you can, you know, invest into that community, it seems like that's kind of where you like to step into.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, tell me a little bit about like what you have learned about digital wellness. Like, talk to me like 101, what you understand about it and how you that sense you have might actually align with what is an issue or a real thing to pay attention to in our day and age with students.
Yeah. So I think the first thing I want to say is that the speed at which things happen and science are not the same thing. So a lot of what I do in my business, while it is interpersonal, it's one-on-one connection, and it's kind of being able to read a room and understand an audience and that type of thing. What I talk about is really based on science, right? It's like, how do you train a girl different than a boy? Or why is technology, you know, potentially causing an issue in today's environment? Mm-hmm. Those conversations don't happen at the same time, right? It takes a long time for science to catch up. I don't think people realize that. So I want to start with that. The cell phone in 2007, right? Like, it hasn't been around forever. So I think that people think this thing has been around forever because it's so in tune to what we're doing, but it's brand new. Mm-hmm. And what we have noticed in the last 20 years is that there is a remarkable increase in anxiety, depression, suicide, loneliness, and there is a correlation between that and this thing that we now carry with us 24/7. And so I want to kind of start there by recognizing that. So we don't have all the answers. I don't have all of the solutions. I have some things that I think that can help people flourish or be digitally well. And some of them are common sense, but some of it is a willingness to understand that maybe we need to pause and maybe we need to pivot. I'm not sure if that answered your question, but I think that's super important to kind of talk about. This thing is brand new. We're all figuring it out.
Yeah, that's very helpful. And, you know, digital flourishing is the term that you're using, which kind of has my ear here a little bit. Like, can you paint a picture of digital flourishing? What does it mean? How can
so
one digitally flourish?
I think the reason, and that's something, to be honest with you, a lot of the verbiage I use, digital minimalism, digital flourishing, digital wellness, I was spurred through my education at the Digital Wellness Institute. I am a wellness coach. I do talk about well-being and everything that comes with that. It's, you know, it's a holistic approach of it's social, economical, physical, mental, nutritional, environmental. They kind of all matter. So I love the fact that the words are positive and forward-thinking. Although you do see that detox word, and I kind of do this all the time with that word. I see it a lot with, like, you know, a nutrition detox or, you know, a digital detox. And the problem with that word, I want to start there and then go back to the flourishing. The problem with that word is a detox was something that is very specific to people who are struggling with addiction, right? Like drugs and alcohol, tobacco. That's a serious thing. And that is, those are, you know, people who are in the throes of addiction and, you know, going through a detox, and that is something we don't want to kind of simplify or kind of glorify, because it's an ugly process, right? It's hard work. The thing with technology, which is also the same as food, by the way, you can't detox from it because it's not going away. It's something that we have to learn to live with. When people talk about detoxing food, I'm always like, oh, because while you can detox from alcohol and you can abstain from alcohol, you can't do that with food. You have to eat. And we certainly can't do that with technology. Right? Is we're here to talk about how to flourish with technology because there are so many benefits to technology, but we have to understand some of the pitfalls. And so when we talk about flourishing, we're using words like restore, refresh, rethink, like, you know, these positive kind of uplifting words where we're understanding this is a thing we have, and this is something that can add tremendous value to our lives. But if we don't get control over it, it can cause harm, right? Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Is digital flourishing something you try to like invest in the young female athletes that you spend time with?
Big time. Yeah. So one of the things, it's super interesting because when we go back to that science piece, I was on the tail end of it. My kids are older. Cell phones kind of were a thing, but we chose to not make them a thing in my house. And from really early on, and I don't know why, I just kind of thought, oh my gosh, I'm not sure this feels comfortable. And do I want my kids connected 24/7 to the world or even to me? Like, I mean, I was a parent. I grew up in a, like, where I had a ton of freedom. I could go and play and climb a tree and get lost and go to a friend's and maybe stagger home at some point. I didn't mean stagger, but, you know, find my way home at some point.
Yeah.
My kids grew up in the city of Chicago. And my kids were pretty free. I worked right across from their school. They could come and go in the city of Chicago. Like, I never felt like they were unsafe, right? And so I think some of what has happened is that we overparent in the real world. And I want people to take this with grace. And I want people to hear what I'm saying, that we overparent in the real world and we underparent in the world of technology. We think these cell phones are going to make us safer. And we're no less safe today than we were when I was growing up 40 years ago or 50 years ago. I guess it's been 50. Without a, right? Like those numbers really haven't changed that much. But we think that this phone is making us safer. That's what parents think. I never kind of thought that. I thought, you know what? I'm giving my kids the resources and tools that they need to kind of figure life out for themselves. Age appropriate and individually appropriate, right? Assigning that. I also knew that I didn't want, for some of it was me. I don't do well with a lot of confusion, a lot of clutter, a lot of noise. That's my personality. So when my kids were driving in the car, you know, and they had those Walkmen back there, I never, that was not a thing. We had to figure out one radio station and we all listened to the same thing. And some people went kicking and screaming because they didn't like country and other people didn't like rap, but you know what? We figured it out. So when I was coaching, one of the big pivots was this constant connection to this phone, and it was always an excuse. I'm like, put your phone away. Like, I don't want to be telling, we have 2 hours to get work done. I don't want to be telling people to put their phone away. Like, we have work to do. And then it would be like, well, I'm telling my mom this, or my mom's asking that, or my dad's asking this, and I want to put it all in the mom's, or I forgot to do this. And I sat there at one point and I thought, you know what? I never one time had a kid text me, and I have a lot of kids, and they were in a lot of things. I never once had them text me, hey, this is when I need to be picked up. Like, because they didn't have a phone, so they couldn't do that. But I'm telling you, they were always picked up. They were always picked up. They always got home. They were always safe because if you look on any website, or it tells you practice starts here, this is when practice ends, or this is where the game is, this is when the bus is, this is, there's so many ways to figure out where your kid is. You don't need to be connected to them 24/7. They need to be able to figure some of these things out by themselves. So we started tech-free practices. I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not saying that we don't have kids that are on their phones. We do. The kids love music. So we have a boom box. They like to plug in music and they're using spot. So they're using technology there. You know, we do have kids that, you know, are communicating different ways, or they're looking on Instagram or Snapchat, you know, practice. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. But what I do know, we have the luxury of being in a sport too, by the way, where you're alone in your thought for a long time when you're running across country, right? There's a lot of time to be thinking and chatting with your friends. We have like, so no headphones. Kids aren't allowed to wear headphones on runs. Some of that is for safety. We want them to be able to hear. But most of it is because we want them connecting to the people next to them. So we have that luxury in that sport. It's not a lot of direction, you know, like a basketball or soccer. And we noticed a difference. We noticed that kids were more connected. Kids were noticing when other kids weren't fitting in. But when everybody was in their phones, there was less of that. So it's made a difference for us just in the social connection. Practice is flowing a little easier. And I also think it helps reinforce the message that we're trying to get through in female athletics. And female athletics, in our opinion, is about empowering who these young girls are and who they can be. And we're not entirely confident that, now this is specific to social media, that doesn't have the same effect. It's not that empowering. And that's what the studies are showing. It's actually detrimental to their social emotional well-being.
There's a lot of richness in what you just shared, and I'm kind of stuck on the part where you said, you know, I'll use the word parenting and maybe guiding interchangeably, but you suggested that we might be over parenting in the world and under parenting in the digital world. And the example you gave about setting some boundaries about technology was like guiding adolescents in the digital world, how to, you'll be okay without headphones right now, or we're going to try something that's going to make you uncomfortable, but there's actual science and belief you have that this is going to be good for you and actually help you.
There's some really good people out there doing I've really kind of nuanced down, and I do work mostly with high school and high school girls. I do some work, particularly in the digital flourishing or digital wellness space, with seventh and eighth graders. The brownies have been great. They pick up a lot of the work and the workshops that I do. I don't work a lot with those younger ages, but there's some really great people like Better Screen Time. I'll make sure I give you all these. There's why screens are making us unhappy, which is a TED Talk. There's some people out there that are doing some really good work with much younger exposure, babies and 1-year-olds and first graders. That's not my jam. So I don't want to overspeak there. Unfortunately, now, by the time these young adults are getting into high school, they're in pretty deep.
So my daughter is she's going to be a freshman next year, and the memo sent out to all students was, our district next year is going new rules with technology. Your phone stays in your locker. It doesn't come into class, right? So
Oh, my Lord, love it.
she goes, "Mom, I'm freaking out." I'm like, "Tell me why." She's like, "I use that to like you just shared to communicate with you. Hey, I have this concert at this time or this date, or I go and put something in the calendar." And she's starting to think about, well, I just need a new strategy for how I'm going to stay on top of, being responsible. But I share that with you because, there's my children's age, the students we work with, they have kind of grown up in this technology world. And I know that there's kind of a dance with holisticness and like, just tell me the 4 steps of what to do here, Anne Marie Sampson, and I'll do it. But for parents, teachers, educators, guides of adolescents, like, any practical suggestions or advice you might give to those who are like, oh my God, I love what she's saying. How can I implement this more?
So again, I try not to, I'm not a big tell people what to do. One of the first things I do when I see a client, it's what I first things I do with my athletes now. I make people fill out a values assessment. It's free on my website. People can go there, they can download it themselves. And basically, what it is a sheet of paper with a bunch of values on it. And you go through and you circle anything that kind of makes sense to you. And then you narrow it down to 3 to 5 things. And then you center your values around your goals. So one of the first things I would tell people to do, this is a big conversation, digital wellness, digital flourishing, digital minimalism. I would focus on your values. So what are your personal values? So I would ask you, what are your personal values? I would ask your daughter, what are your personal values? The worksheet is so easy to use. It's so simple. You can use it with anything, values professionally, personally, athletically. You can kind of, figure out what you want to talk about. And then as a family, what are your values? And so I think that when you connect to your values and then understand your why, well, why are we taking away or putting more control over this phone? I mean, why are we doing it? If you understand your values and you understand your why, it's so much easier to put boundaries around something. So that's first and foremost. I really encourage people to do that with almost any big decision they're making. I think it's really important because if you're just going to, what are we going to do to get to this result? And you don't understand why you're doing it. I've been in this business a long time. I am telling you, the failure rate is so high because people don't know why they're doing it. So that's first and foremost. The other thing is, if we just talk from a neurological, mind body perspective. And if everyone just gets, again, quiet and tries not to jump to a conclusion, there is so much research and so much data. There's a great book called Deep Work, Cal Newport. He's and actually he has a book coming out, Digital Minimalism, which is super interesting. But he's one that comes top of mind. But so many people out there showing we can't multitask. It is such, we task switch. And when we task switch, so let's say your daughter is in biology. She sees you put a calendar update. She gets distracted. She looks at this. Then she tries to come back to what she's doing. The science says it's anywhere from 3 to 33 minutes before you can get back on task. I mean, so much time is being wasted. We're less productive today than we ever were before. And it's because we have so much going on in our heads 24/7. Mm-hmm. We don't have time to think. Mm-hmm. So what I would say to both a student in high school, because they're old enough to understand what their values are and what their why is, and I would say the same thing to a parent, why are you sending your young adult to school, to high school? Are you sending them to high school to learn biology or learn English or and socialize with their friends? Or are you sending them there because you want to be able to communicate with them about what you're having for dinner or what time you want to pick them up? Like, it to me, if we just took a step back and thought, even as parents, and kind of call ourselves out and be like, why am I texting my kid at 12 noon when they're supposed to be in school, getting in trouble in the bathroom? I don't care what they're doing at school, or socializing with their friend or in English. Mm-hmm. Why am I trying to have control over those 8 hours? They're supposed to be in school. Mm-hmm. So I think some of it is calling us out. Again, I didn't have that issue because my kids didn't have a phone. Sure. and their friends all did, by the way. So, and it was early enough in the conversation that I didn't feel that kind of pressure, and mm-hmm. kids didn't feel that pressure. But even now, I'm so mindful of, I have a son that lives in Germany. I have a daughter that lives in LA. I have another kid who's in Ohio on the East Coast. I'm so cognizant, even when I send them a text, like what time zone is it is? Are they going to get this at 3 a.m? Or are they going to get, I'm mindful of it because I want to be respectful of, well, they're at work or they're at a game or they're whatever. So I think some of it is us mm-hmm. taking a step back and saying, okay, what is it that we really want to be doing with these phones? And, you know, for our convenience is one thing, but to be in constant connection with our kids, I'm not sure that's doing anybody any good. And it doesn't allow you, because like you're working, or your child to be in committed deep work.
Yeah. Yeah. You're casting a vision for a different way to look at wellness. Like, you know, like maybe there's a lot of messages that we as guides and parents are receiving that are like, maybe you're not a good parent if you don't check in on your kid, you know, 4 times a day, yeah. right? But you're casting a vision for wellness that is different than necessarily maybe comparing with how everyone else is doing it out there and trying to do their best. But we're all actually, we do care about our kids.
Well,
and
at this point, it's an experiment, right? Mm-hmm. Because that, mm-hmm. it is an experiment. I have to tell you, there's no right or wrong way to do this, by the way. We have to figure it out. What I do believe is that when young adults and children are in school, I think they need to be in school. I don't think they need to be checking their phones. It's for nothing else. They are not getting the input and the learning that they need to be getting. And again, we cannot, that whole idea of multitasking or task switching, or, you know, we've all been, you know, that's one thing, right? But it's another thing. And I have teachers and educators say this to me all the time. They're in a classroom and they're trying to communicate. They're trying to look and communicate with a child. And these kids are in their phones. Like, turn that around. What if the teacher was on his phone and your kid came home and said, yeah, my teacher's on his phone all day long?
Sure.
We would be in an uproar, but we let our kids do it.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll end on this question. When I think of this idea of flourishing digitally, I mean, you have a lot of passion here. What does flourishing digitally seem like?
Yeah, I think I do think there's some individuality and some nuance around it. I don't think it's something that kids get to decide. I think it's something parents have to take back control over. In control, if it's a 7-year-old, I think it's control. If it's the same way you wouldn't let them cross the street without looking both ways or not wear a seatbelt in a car, right? If your kids are already in high school, I do think the word control might be a little, that may not be the right word. I can't come up with the right word right now, but that might be a conversation. Like, what can we decide together? One of the things we decided pretty early on is phones were never going to be charged in the bedroom. My phone, by the way, is never charged in my bedroom. It's charged right here in my office. So if you tried to contact me after 8 o'clock at night, I wouldn't respond. Even when my kids were out, I went to bed at 9. My phone was in my office and people are like, well, what if your kids needed you? My kids had a curfew. And if they weren't home at their curfew, one of us would have recognized, right? Something was wrong. And, but I wasn't going to lose sleep every single night under the possibility that something might happen. So I think that's a really good step, having a designated place for your phones to be. There's a lot of digital wellness and flourishing experts out there that believe that technology should only be used in open spaces. I think that could potentially be super helpful, that, you know, then you know what your kids are doing on their computers and on their phones. And you know, they're doing homework at the kitchen table, which is where I did homework when I was growing up, right? I didn't have my own bedroom. So, and that may or may not be bad. It may or may not work for you, but that's a possibility. I think that's something that's super beneficial. Tech-free dinners, I think, is super helpful. Some people do tech-free Sundays. And I think that's also something that's really good. The thing is, if you're under this conversation with your high schooler about this digital flourishing, and the conversation is, let's do this together, and your expectation as the parent is they're going to do it, but I'm not going to abide by the rules, I'm not sure that works. So I do think there has to be buy-in from both parties. My hope is there's going to be different understanding of where technology helps us and where it helps us flourish with new generations. Some of this, it looks like government regulation. I'm not sure that's the right thing. I don't know. I'm still trying to figure some of that out. But right now where we're at, I really do think we need a rethink. And I think some of those things are simple, right? Like, phones are charged here. Like, it's not a bad thing. It's just a thing, right? It's not, remember, it's not bad or good. We're doing tech-free Sundays. It's going to be fun. Like, let's go outside and explore. Let's play a game. Let's connect to each other. Let's have fun. Let's have more leisure time. Leisure time, by the way, might be a family deciding that they're going to watch, you know, a Disney movie, which is technology. But, you know, you decide to watch that together. I know we were, but I want to say this really quick, which is super interesting. I've heard this when I do these digital wellness talks, I always do them to the students. And a lot of times parents are there listening. And so we talk about, they're like, well, what are some things that you really enjoy doing? And they're like, well, we love watching movies. Yeah, that's a great way to use your time. And I will tell you, I think almost every time I've done a presentation, there's always a young child or adult, like, again, it's a 7th, 8th grader, high schooler, that says, yeah, except when we watch our movie, my mom and dad are on their phones. And it's like these kids are even recognizing it. So there has to be some intentionality behind that, right?
Well, thank you. This has been a very rich conversation around a topic that I think is only going to grow and needs to grow in conversation, like you said, as we learn, right? We're all experimenting and trying to just be great guides to our kids and students in this digital world.
Yeah, it's hard. And there's some really good people out there, by the way. So just like if you guys haven't watched The Social Dilemma, that's really good. There's a TED talk, Why Screens Are Making Us Are Less Happy. That's a really good talk. That values assessment, I think, is a really useful tool that's on my website.
Great.
So there's a lot of people out there really trying to do some good work here.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, thank you for your time, Anne Marie. We loved having you on the pod.
Yep, talk to you.